Welcome to
UCourseChurch.ca.
Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from a Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite the kids to head back and get ready to do something later. I don't know exactly what's going on. That's the energy level. For the rest of us, I invite you to pass the peace, help warm each other up, do a dance or whatever you got to do. Peace of Christ be with you. Our text for this week is a funny one. It's one of those texts that makes us uncomfortable because we read it and we go, "Wow, this is really cool that God's with us and there's a baby being born and God's redeeming the world." There's just one glaringly obvious oddity in the text, and that's that virgins don't have babies. And like your whole life in the church, you kind of see that if you were raised in the church. You're like, "Yeah, the virgin had a baby." And you're like, "That doesn't make any sense." But you just kind of move on, you know? You just move on. You're like, "Hey, yeah, you know, stranger things have happened." No, not really. This is the strangest thing. One stranger thing has happened than a virgin having a baby. It happened around the same time, strangely enough. But you know, like, it doesn't occur like that. And even though, I mean, maybe... It's like I think what I buck against is not even my own fears, it's what I feel like other people might think about me, being a Christian, being a part of a religion which at the crux of it has a virgin woman becoming pregnant. And we all know that that's not a thing that happens. But sometimes as modernist people, kind of post-enlightenment people, aha, with our heads held high, people like will try to take down Christianity using this. I don't know if you've ever talked to someone who's like, "I couldn't be a Christian and believe stupid things like a virgin having a baby." To which I always want to respond like, "We know." Right? Like, it's not like, "Oh, you guys believe that virgins have babies." But we know that it's weird. Like, it's not like we're all like, "This could happen any moment." Like, it's not exactly the takedown people are looking for. And it's like people are like, "Oh, back then people were so primitive. They believed virgins had babies." No, they didn't. Like, this was never accessible information. This was never something that felt normal. This was always something that felt as strange as it feels to us. And so what I want to say is that on the one hand, I understand that it's always been a bit of a stumbling block. But I've never known what to do with it. Even when I could receive it as a Christian, it's always felt like this kind of awkward thing that I do because I like the rest of the package so much. You know, I'll receive the Virgin Mary thing because I love the Jesus risen from the dead and the whole beautiful thing there. But very recently I had an epiphany. And it has meant that now I love the virgin birth. And I'm going to attempt to share with you how I learned to stop worrying and love the virgin birth. So, God sets his people apart. This is the originating of the story. God calls Abraham, one man, out of a tribe into a whole new pattern of being. Out of a family with all of its patterns, out of a tribe with all of its patterns, and all of its beliefs, and all of its structures, and all of its gods, and calls this one person to enter into the unknown, to enter into the darkness, and there seek God. And God takes that one man and creates a great nation, and that great nation enters into slavery, and in slavery that great nation cries out, and that nation is liberated, and they enter into the wilderness, and they survive off miracle bread for 40 years. And when they settle and establish themselves as God's people, it goes really well for a little while, and then they are back in exile, back in slavery, being owned by another nation. And so God's people are constantly doing this dance where they think they know who God is, and then something tragic occurs, and they either now will lose their God, or they will discover that their God is higher and greater than they even knew. This is a pattern that continues to play out for so many of us. We walk with God until a point of crisis, at which point our God either gets bigger or we walk away from that God. And doing this generation after generation after generation, the Israelites are coming face to face with a God who is so high, so beyond their capacity to understand, that they can only humbly receive from that God visions and joys and clarity and worship and formation, not because they understand that God, but precisely because they don't understand that God. Because the God being revealed to them through their life and worship is so far beyond their comprehension that they could never be with that God, like they are with one another. But then, miracle of miracles, they are told that that God is taking form in one called Christ, who will be named Jesus, with the name Emmanuel, which translates to God with us. So the entire life of Jesus is to reveal the infinite, unknowable, unseeable God who has been in relationship with his people for generations on generations. To have that God who could not be understood revealed in flesh and blood among us in a way that we can understand. And they have then this plan, God has this plan, the Trinity has this plan, to reveal God's self in Christ through not just coming to earth, but living a faithful life all the way to the point of death, death in the most shameful way imaginable, death on a cross, leading into the lowest point of death before resurrection occurs and ties it all together. And I don't know how God thinks, but if I were God, kind of visualizing, like looking ahead, thinking, it's weird to be like, if I was God thinking, you know, don't think about it too much. But in the depths of God's wisdom, God has to know this is a sick plan, right? To be like, this is going to be so great. They're going to know who I am. And then I'm going to show them that I'm like humble and descending. And I'm going to defeat death and bring it all back up. I'm going to wrap it all together, all of cosmic history together in one person. And then God has to wonder, like, how do I let them know? Like, everyone's so busy. How could I get their attention? I got one idea. I got one way to get someone's attention. What if a virgin got pregnant And the angels are like, that's crazy. They'll never believe it. He's like, no. I think that's kind of the point. They'll never understand it, but it'll get their attention. Anybody seen the movie Children of Men by chance? Quick show of hands so I've got any sense of the room. Okay, so a couple of you. If you're not familiar with it, Children of Men is a movie and a book where the human population is no longer able to procreate. And so the youngest person on Earth is in his 30s, and everyone's sort of falling into despair because there's no new life coming and no one can get pregnant. And it seems as if human civilization is going to end within one lifetime because there's no more babies being born. And there's a scene in the movie where they take some of the characters out into a barn to introduce them to this woman. And when she strips down, they see that she's with child. It's a very clear allusion to the story of Mary. And in this film, if you ever get a chance to watch it, it's a really excellent film. You can see the severity on the faces of those who are witnessing this unexpected child. You can see how frightening it is. It is terrifying in its importance that they now reorient everything in their lives around the protection of this woman to ensure that this child is born. And I can't help but think that if you were in the first century, awaiting a messenger from God, and someone in your tribe became pregnant without any sexual activity, it would get your attention. It would not be fun. It would be frightening. It would be terrifying to imagine that this child is of such importance, the task of protecting this child so serious, that whatever you have to do, whatever you have to sacrifice to care for this one life is worth it. And so it functions in part to get everyone's attention. If I told you that somebody in this room had become pregnant by a Holy Spirit, you either wouldn't believe me, or we would all stop everything we're doing and give our attention to that. Like, what is Netflix when someone's having a baby from God? What is your job? What is work when someone's having a baby from God? Would we not rearrange everything in our collective life to surround that one life? How much more do God's people reorient their entire story, their entire sense of who they are, and all these characters in this text, like Joseph, reorienting his entire moral and ethical framework, willing to take on all social shame and pressure, willing to lose it all to protect this one special life. And this life, this person, Jesus, he does grow up to become the witness of God. He reveals in his teaching, his healings, his wisdom, his death, his blessing, his resurrection. He does it. Jesus reveals to the cosmos a God who is good. A God that we could never understand, but who comes to us and reveals himself as so good, we can think of none better. That Christ in his life reflects the greatest of all human qualities and the greatest of all spiritual qualities. Jesus does it. 10 out of 10, sticks the landing, resurrection, all-time great, changes human history. We're sitting in a room 2,000 years later because he did such a good job teaching us this that it spread automatically and was the single person who changed most the shape of the cosmos. That's a fact. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. If you don't believe me, ask what year it is. Human history reshaped by Jesus. By this one that they believed had come from a virgin who was pregnant. Jesus reveals a good God, but here's where the virgin birth comes in. He also reveals a humble God. And what can happen when we start talking about big themes like how the cosmos is being changed and how we ought to be human is that we can very quickly get a little arrogant and start to think that we know a whole bunch of things. When you discuss these big ideas, you can quickly start to think that you know everything and that everything makes sense to you. And so if only there was a way that we could, on the one hand, get the collective attention of everyone who hears about this Jesus, and on the other hand, find some way to intellectually humble everyone who wishes to receive this news. Ding, 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 presenting the virgin birth. You can't ignore it. If it's true, it changes everything. And yet, to receive it, you've got to break your own intellectual rules. Does anyone else not think that's hilarious? Like, if I were God, not that he wants me to be, if I were God, I'd do this. Just to humiliate all these people walking around being like, I know what carbon is. It's like virgins have babies. What? Like, I would do it just so that everyone who's like, I know everything, I figured out everything, we are the smartest people that have ever lived, I'd give them something fundamentally illogical just to make the lintel low enough for those who enter to enter humbly. I would do it. And I'm not smarter than God. And so maybe God has a better reason why he did it, but he doesn't have a better reason to not do it. You know what I mean? Like, why would you not do this? This is the greatest trick, the greatest ploy, the greatest stumbling block. To enter into this faith sincerely, you must concede to that which is impossible. Because this faith is not about thinking, it's not about ideas. It's about becoming. It's not about material. It's about spirit. Because this faith is fundamentally different from anything else we will ever engage, the only way to enter into it is to move beyond logic into super logic. Moments that are above us, too great for us, where the proper response is humility and faith. And as we receive this word, we receive God in us. And I think that's pretty awesome. Amen.